Welcome to Voices of Change. I'm Katie Kapp, co-founder and executive director of the Get the Medications Right Institute, the sponsor for this podcast. On this episode, we will be speaking with Dr. Anand Parekh, chief medical advisor at the Bipartisan Policy Center. Last month, the GTMRX Institute co-hosted with the Bipartisan Policy Center a program called Get the Medications Right, Innovations in Team-Based Care. We discussed how we can harness and scale what we know works from the decades of work happening across healthcare in order to integrate medication experts into the care team and to facilitate whole person medication use. At the event, we examined what we can do to fix the trial and error approach to medication use that's costing 275,000 lives and wasting $528 billion a year. At BPC, Anand provides clinical and public health expertise and has led specific efforts tackling a variety of policy issues, including the opioid crisis, obesity epidemic and nutrition, health and housing, domestic and global HIV/AIDS, business and public health collaboration, emergency preparedness, social isolation, rural health, and prescription drug costs. He's board certified internal medicine physician, a fellow of the American College of Physicians, and an adjunct assistant professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins University. He has spoken widely and written extensively on a variety of health topics, such as chronic care management, population health, value in healthcare, and the need for health and human services integration. His book, Prevention First, Policymaking for a Healthier America, which was released in December of last year, argues that prevention must be our nation's top health policy priority. Welcome, Anand, to this podcast.
Thank you, Katie. Great to be on.
So, Anand, can you tell us about your role as chief medical advisor at the Bipartisan Policy Center? And then tell us a little about BPC's current health policy focus. I think it's particularly of interest to our listeners because of the healthcare discussions that are occurring today with the upcoming election. Where do you think healthcare will go as a central part of this discussion?
Sure. Bipartisan Policy Center is a nonprofit organization founded 13 years ago by four former Senate majority leaders, Tom Daschle, George Mitchell, Bob Dole, and Howard Baker, to essentially have a place in Washington, D.C., where the best ideas from both political parties could be ascertained in hopes of enhancing health, security, and opportunity for all Americans. And so what we try to do is bring all sides together, try to understand what are the topical issues facing the country, identify policy windows that Congress might have, and then convene groups of people to come up with the best policy solutions. Congress, as well as the executive branch, are our chief audiences. And I think most Americans want more bipartisanship. Sometimes it does feel a bit lonely, I must say, to wave the bipartisan flag, particularly in an election year like this. But what we really strive to do is to bring everyone together. The health program at BPC is the largest program. We work in areas such as health insurance reform, delivery payment reform, health innovation, prevention, and public health as well. We are currently heavily involved with tracking the coronavirus pandemic, as well as providing Congress policy recommendations. So we cover a pretty wide breadth. As you noted, my role as the physician on our staff is to provide that clinical and public health expertise across our health program, as well as across our organization. We do cover areas that range from immigration to infrastructure to energy to early child care. And of course, there are many important economic policy, and we know that there are many important social determinants of health. And so I provide some expertise with those teams as well.
Well, we are certainly at the Get the Medications Right Institute big fans of the Bipartisan Policy Center, and we're delighted to have had the opportunity for our first national event in February to have that co-sponsored with you and your team. You recently published a book that I mentioned in the introduction, Prevention First, Policymaking for a Healthier America. And I would encourage all of those listening, if you've not had an opportunity to read the book, you should pick the book up. I've had the opportunity to read it, and I wanted to offer my congratulations and appreciation for sharing what you've learned as a clinician, as a public servant, and as a policy advisor. I think the integration of those three points of view are very important. It certainly came through. Now, in the book, you argue that disease prevention must be our nation's top health policy priority. How do you think addressing suboptimal medication use can help accomplish that goal?
Well, you know, when you talk about prevention, there are multiple forms of prevention. There is certainly primary prevention. You want to ensure Americans stop smoking, eat healthy, physically active. There's secondary prevention, which focuses on everything from immunizations and cancer screenings. And then there's really tertiary prevention and focusing on individuals who may have chronic conditions. They may be on a pharmacologic regimen, but what you're trying to do here is really prevent exacerbation. And the point of the book was really that we need much more focus in prevention across the board. Certainly with tertiary prevention, that is so linked to the healthcare system that there's a lot of focus there already. But primary and secondary prevention oftentimes get the short shrift. And Katie, I think what we're learning is that, as we know, chronic conditions, for example, cause the majority of death and disability in this country and virtually all of our healthcare costs, 90%, can be accounted for individuals who have chronic conditions. And what I learned sort of after 20 years, as you said, in clinical practice, then being a public servant and now being a policy advisor, is that, you know, most of these chronic conditions are preventable. That in some ways we have been failing our patients as well as the public by not partnering with them to forestall these very conditions in the first place. And so that's really the premise of that book, Prevention First. There are 250,000 Americans dying potentially preventable deaths, just looking at the five leading causes of death: heart disease, stroke, chronic lower respiratory disease, unintentional injury, as well as cancer. And again, most of these can be preventable. I think where sort of get the medications right really comes in is certainly there are pharmacologic regimens to help prevent many of these conditions. But even more commonly, of course, are pharmacologic regimens in the form of tertiary prevention that try to manage these conditions so Americans can have the highest quality of life. And too often in this management, there are errors. There are drug-drug interactions and drug-disease interactions and unfortunately choices and decisions and treatment plans being made that don't lead to the best outcomes. And I think that's probably where the connection is, that unfortunately much of the poor outcomes, suboptimal outcomes related to pharmacologic use can be prevented. And I think that's an important point to make.
Absolutely, because I think we know that about 80% of the way we treat and prevent disease is through medication. So certainly there is going to be that link. So while we're talking about prescription drugs, what do you see out of the areas being discussed and debated right now are the issues that have the strongest bipartisan agreement moving forward around affordability, accessibility, and appropriate use of prescription medications?
Well, right now, I think much of the discussion has been focused on the affordability of prescription drugs, particularly given that there are an array of newer drugs now that are coming to the market that are quite expensive. Certainly drugs that are on the market, if they are branded drugs, continue to increase in terms of price from year to year. While there is some generic, there's quite a bit of generic competition in the small molecule space, particularly for biosimilars, they have not been advanced as much as I think we'd like. So a lot of the conversation is about affordability right now. That's been a key priority for this administration been a key priority for both parties in Congress. Both parties are trying to find ways to increase affordability. So the issue of going beyond just simply affordability, but talking about the right medication to the right patient at the right time, I would say that Katie has not been sort of the central focus of Congress right now. There are other sort of recent legislations where perhaps this aspect was more of a focus. You think about 21st century cures and increasing research at NIH and pathways at FDA to try to ensure the right medication to the right patient at the right time. I was quite involved in recently reauthorization of the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, or PCORI. And there, the type of research that's done, particularly focused on patient-centered comparative effectiveness research, really gets at, I think, this theme that we need to make sure out of all the treatment regimens there that patients and providers through shared decision-making pick the right one. And you know, I was very happy to see that center has been reauthorized now for 10 years. So I think that links directly here. But I think on the issue of prescription drug use right now in Congress, it is somewhat dominated on the affordability issue. And it is worth thinking through how to make sure that policymakers, affordability is important, but realize that there are other issues as well that are critical.
Yeah, and certainly the opportunity we had to partner with you in February, I think, was a real important opportunity to expand that discussion from recognizing that affordability is extremely important, but to discussions around accessibility and appropriateness. It's the goal of the Institute, as you know, to help answer that question, is this the right medication for this person, or you know, are these the right combinations of medication for this person? So as we look at fitting that into a broader discussion of access and appropriate use, what do you see is before us as it relates to changing the current trial and error approach to medication use to a system that's really focused more on optimized use of medications, or you know, fitting that into current legislation? You mentioned the 21st Century Cures Act, work that's going on at PCORI. Are there opportunities as we move forward to look at appropriate use of medications in a more focused way?
I think one of the ongoing movements in healthcare, as you know, for the last decade now, and it's slow moving, but it is real, is value-based healthcare transformation, this idea that healthcare professionals ought to be paid not just by the amount of services that they provide, but based on the outcomes that are generated. And if you think about it that way, a lot of the delivery and payment reform work suggests that thinking about optimizing sort of medication management, comprehensive medication management, should be a core piece of that, because more and more healthcare professionals are being held accountable for outcomes as well as reducing preventable healthcare costs. And as your data suggests, that optimizing medication management can absolutely help with both outcomes as well as costs. And so, you know, there may be even more opportunities moving forward in the executive branch at CMS as they continue, you know, pushing forward with value-based healthcare transformation. There may be, with respect to Congress, opportunities in the future. There may be a Cures 2.0 package. So there may also be opportunities there, but perhaps the executive branch might be next in terms of having an impact in this area.
So you were heavily involved, and you were one of the key sponsors of the February 5th and 6th meeting, where we focused on innovations in team-based care. And I know your work is taking you into other areas around team-based care, which would be integrating mental health and other activities. But the Get the Medications Right Institute is particularly interested in bringing in a medication expert to that team. What was one of the most surprising things or key insights or walkaways from that February the 5th and the 6th meeting as we brought in the VA to show their over 10 years of experience on around patient-aligned care teams, which were those team-based care efforts that act as a medication expert, and Guy Singer, and then Health Partners out of Minnesota? What did you have key insights that you wanted to share with our audience as it relates to not only formula necessary to access those team members, but also steps that need to be taken from a policy standpoint as we move forward to align those teams around the patient?
You know, I think the first insight is how eye-opening one of the videos that you shared was, because I think it helps relate this topic to all of us. All of us have been in a situation, whether personally or a family member, a loved one, where they are either incorrectly diagnosed and then prescribed an inappropriate medication, which then can lead to preventable hospitalization and consequences down that road. And, you know, this is a story that we hear so often. And I think, first of all, it makes the issue that we are discussing today so relatable. And I think that's important for the public. I think that's important for policymakers. I think the next insight is this word team that you've used, because, you know, I think about my training now 20 plus years ago, and I hope things have improved. But this idea of working as a team, at least as a physician, you know, is not something where, at least when I trained, that there was significant attention. But you're absolutely right. If you want to optimize outcomes, we all have to work as a team and learn how to work as a team. And this idea of having a pharmacist embedded in the team, one specific example, I think is so important, because at the end of the day, it takes a group of people with different expertise to ensure that patients get the best outcome. And so one of the challenges on the payment and delivery side is how do we make sure we pay or incentivize for team-based care? That's one. How do we make sure that health professionals are trained so they're working well in a team? But it was heartening to see the VA, heartening to see health partners in Geisinger demonstrate that in the real world, in the private sector, this can be done, and this can be done with pretty powerful results for patients. And so I think that's probably the biggest insight that I took away, that this is a large healthcare challenge, and yet there are public and private sector leaders who are leading the way. I think the issue for all of us is, how do we scale what is working in pockets around the country? How do we make it the norm? What are the public policy levers we need to pull? You know, where does Congress need to take the lead? Where does CMS need to take the lead? And I think the work that the Institute is leading, trying to come up with that policy agenda, is just so important.
Well, thank you, Dr. Anand Parekh. We very much appreciate your time with us on this podcast today and the work that you and the Bipartisan Policy Center are doing. For those listeners, please pick up Prevention First, Policymaking for a Healthier America. I think it'll offer you great insight. That wraps up this episode of Voices of Change. Thank you for taking time to chat with me today, Anand, and offer your perspectives on these issues. To learn more about what you can do to help get the medications right, please visit us at www.ctmr.org. Until next time, stay well.